brother. All right. All right, if you have your Bible, turn with me, please, in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I want to share a little thought with you out of this chapter tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 30. While you're turning, I do want to say it's a real joy to be back in service tonight. And good to see this good number back on Sunday night. And I do appreciate you being here and being in service tonight. Most of all, I appreciate the Lord being here. Amen. And He's the one that makes it all possible. And I appreciate His goodness tonight. I sure do. And so good to be back to service tonight. I've really enjoyed today. I really enjoyed today. Are y'all listening? And I've enjoyed being here already. And good service this morning. I appreciate the Lord helping us. Then, man alive, I'm telling you, the preacher and his family know how to put on a spread. Do youns know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about food. Food. And how many likes food? Somebody said, what do you like? Food. That's my problem. It sure is. And I'm right now the oldest and heaviest I've ever been. That's the truth. I'm not proud of that last part. But anyhow, it is good to be here. And I appreciate the good meal today, good service this morning, and good to be back in the house of God tonight. How about that trio singing tonight? Huh? I said duet. How many believes I said duet? The minority is right in the Bible most time. But anyhow, man, that was good. I enjoyed that singing tonight. I sure did. And that little lady's got a good teacher, hasn't she? Yes, she has. And I appreciate the good singing. My wife singing tonight. Then the good choir singing tonight. I enjoyed that tonight also, as always. And so good to be in the service tonight. I was sitting there thinking tonight, man alive, I believe everybody in this building can play a piano. I'm telling you, that was great. I enjoyed that tonight, this morning. And I'll promise you this right here. If you go where I go, you'll come back thanking God for what you've got. I mean that. I go in a lot of places that don't have a choir. I go in a lot of places that don't even have a piano player. And I go in some places and they got canned music. I'm moving. I don't get negative. But anyhow, that I enjoyed the good music, good singing, and what a blessing it is to be here and be in the service tonight. And I appreciate the wonderful, wonderful day God's given us today. How many will be honest tonight and go ahead and confess you did get a Sunday afternoon nap? I didn't only get one. I felt plumb good about it. And I sure did. I appreciate the afternoon. And by the way, when you get my age and the preacher's age, you need a nap in the afternoon. And by the way, I read this the other day. The older you get, the richer you get. You see, the older you get silver in your hair, gold in your teeth, precious stones in your kidneys, and sugar in your blood. That's right. So the older we get, the richer we get. Amen. And I'm not sure about all that. But anyhow, I appreciate the good day the Lord's given us today. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I want to deal with this tonight, speak out of this chapter tonight. Tomorrow night, I'm going to really get down on revival stuff. And I hope you'll be here tomorrow night. I really hope you will. And I really intended on preaching tonight on revival. The Lord just would not give me the nudge to do that. He put this on my heart before I ever come here. And so I've got to mind the Lord tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I was reading through my Bible again this year, and I love doing that. Isn't the Bible a wonderful book to read? And I love the Word of God. I sure do. 3 or 4 weeks ago, I come through this scripture. And man, I read it. I read it many times. I preached all of it before. But God really spoke to my heart, and it spoke to my heart in recent days about these verses here that I want to deal with tonight. And I want to talk to you tonight. Can I help you tonight? Yes, sir. Will that be okay if I help you? I just want to help you tonight. Now, tomorrow night, you come get ready. We're going to have revival tonight. But I'll deal more with the revival side out tomorrow night. I want to help you tonight. I really want to help you tonight. I sure do. And I want to say this before I read the scripture and preach what I'm getting ready to preach. What I'm getting ready to say tonight has took many a preacher out of the ministry. Many of them. What I'm getting ready to say tonight has took many a Sunday school teacher out of the Sunday school class. What I'm getting ready to say tonight has took many a choir member out of the choir. And you'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. 1 Samuel chapter 30, you want to stand while I read if you're able. And 1 Samuel 30, Boy, this is an unusual time in David's life. And you're going to see why I'm saying that in just a minute. Bible said in verse number 1, it came to pass, when David and his men would come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites, and by the way, had Saul done what he ought to have done, David wouldn't be having this problem right here. That's right. The Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and taken the women captive that were therein, and slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and was burnt with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters was taken captive. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives was taken captive. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. How about David encouraged himself and the Lord his God? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to look at more verses. Look at verse number 8. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this truth? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now, I'm going to look at several other verses before I get done with the chapters, so keep your Bible open. Our Heavenly Father, as we look into the Word of God tonight, I have a real desire to be a blessing tonight. And Lord, before I ever got here, you laid these thoughts on our heart for the service tonight. And I pray, God, you'll take it, you'll work in our heart tonight. You'll do a work in our lives tonight. Lord, I need you tonight. I've never stood what I didn't need you, and I need you more tonight than ever before. And I pray the Spirit of God will take the Word of God tonight and work mightily in our hearts tonight. I have a real burden and a real desire to be a blessing and to be a help tonight. If I'm going to be that, it'd be because you helped me tonight. Lord, I pray you'll be able to work through me and speak through me tonight, how to encourage and help your people tonight. Most of all, face somebody listening by way of radio or by way of internet tonight, or somebody here in auditorium not saved, I pray this will be the time in their life they'll realize their need of God and trust Christ and get saved by the good grace of God. And we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for sending you to be seated tonight. When you come to 1 Samuel chapter number 30 tonight, to understand this chapter tonight, you need to go back 3 chapters. If you go back to chapter 27, and we're not going to do it because we don't have time. But if you go back to chapter 27 tonight, you'll find chapter 27 and chapter 28 and chapter 29 and chapter 30 is some very unusual scripture. I come through here reading this the other day, and I thought, my soul, I can't believe David is where he's at. And I can't believe that David is going through what he's going through here in these chapters here tonight. And when you study these chapters tonight, you'll find that David is very discouraged. And if you go back in chapter 27 and study it, you'll find that David does an unusual thing. Again, David is discouraged. And David does an unusual thing when you come to chapter 29 or chapter 27. What he does, he goes and joins up with the Philistines. That's the crowd he's been fighting all the time. That's the crowd he's been after and been fighting all the time. And David is very much discouraged simply because Saul is pursuing him. I preached this week and the preacher was there. And by the way, boy, we had a wonderful time with the preacher and his wife this week. Had a good time, we sure did. But what I started to say was this. I preached this week one night at the conference this week on bitterness. And I don't think I've ever met a more bitter man in the Word of God than Saul. Saul was a wicked man, he sure was. And when I study what Saul did to David, how did Saul try to kill David? Numbers and numbers of times. That amazes me tonight. Again, I just come through this reading through my Bible again. And I thought, man, he's sorry, man. I can't believe he's doing that to the men of God. But you know what? David wouldn't do it to him. That's right. That shows character. But anyhow, what I started to say was this. In this chapter, David is running from Saul. Saul's got his men running after David and doing everything he can to destroy David and even take David's life. So what David does here, he takes off to the land of the Philistines. And how sad that is. And by the way, when you get discouraged, listen to this tonight. How when you get discouraged tonight, you do unusual, unpredictable, and unscriptural things. Can I say that again? How when you get discouraged, if you're not careful, you'll do unusual, unpredictable, and unscriptural things. You don't think right when you're discouraged. And so it is tonight with the life of David here. David takes off to the land of the Philistines. And in chapter 27, if you'll study it, you'll find they give him a place called Ziklag. That's 70 miles south of Jerusalem. David is away from the throne. David's away from his house. David's away from what he's been doing. He winds up in Ziklag, or there in the land of the Philistines. And he dwells there a year and 4 months. I want to tell you, David gets in bad shape. When you get to this chapter here and these other chapters here tonight. And if you study chapter 27, you'll find David was very discouraged. He's discouraged for three reasons. Number one, his perception was wrong. And chapter 27, if you study, I'll just read it. Chapter 27, Bible says in verse number 1, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish. One day to him the saw. His perception was wrong. His thinking was not right. His perception was wrong. David said, one of these days, I'll perish at the hand of Saul. Let me tell you something, his thinking was not correct. And may I say this to you tonight, don't make a decision when you're discouraged. Don't make a major decision when you're discouraged. Amen. Brother Bobby Robinson was my friend. Brother Bobby pastored the largest independent Baptist church in North Carolina. He was there, about 50 years, I guess. Brother Bobby told me this many times. He said, preacher, never make a decision when you're discouraged. When I'm not discouraged, I don't want to quit. I don't want to resign. I don't want to give up my class, but when I'm discouraged. David's perception, was wrong. That's why he was discouraged. By the way, David's was discouraged because his patience was worn. In chapter 27, verse 1, Bible said he'll speedily into the land of the Philistine. His patience was wore out. The battle was great. The battle was huge. And Saul was always after him, trying to kill him. And David speedily goes off into the land of the Philistines. But I'll say this also. He discouraged not only because his perception was wrong. He discouraged because his patience was worn out. But he's discouraged because his prayer was waiting. You see, what happened was in chapter 27, David quit talking to God and started talking to himself. David quit communion with God and started communion with himself. Yourself will talk you out serving God. Yourself will show you the negative. Yourself will show you the worst. Boy, the preacher's so right tonight. We're so carnal tonight. Our flesh tonight is so carnal. And I'll say as a result of this tonight, David comes to the place here, my soul, he's discouraged. His life is in a mess. He's led these other 600 men with him also. That's also in a mess. And when you come to chapter 28, and I'm going to get the preacher to interpret for me this week. I don't understand all chapter 28. You say, what don't you understand? I don't understand that witch of Endor. And by the way, you're talking about Saul being carnal. He had to go get her to interpret. Are y'all listening to me now? I don't understand all chapter 28. But I know this now. When you come to chapter 29, the Philistines is getting ready to go off to battle. And as they go off to battle, you know what they do? They say, David may turn on us. David may not be with us. So they send David and his 600 men back to Ziklag. And that's where I read to you tonight. When they come back to the town here, you'll find in this chapter here when they come back, the city's been burned, the Amalekites has invaded them and come in and burnt the city down, taken the children and the wives captive. David is so much discouraged because of what's just happened. And may I say this real quick? It's of David's own making. Are you hearing me tonight? I'm telling you, you'll do unusual things when you're discouraged tonight. You'll do unpredictable things when you're discouraged tonight. And don't you notice here in this chapter 9, notice what happens here when they come back in chapter number 30. How, of course, David sees that, how the wives have been taken, children been taken. Look at verse 6 again. Bible said, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. They're mad at him. They're upset at him because where they're at. And the people spake of stoning him, because all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. How about David encouraged himself in the Lord his God? How that word "but" there is the greatest conjunction, I think, in the Bible. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Oh, my soul, you hear me tonight? Hey, listen to me. There'll be times that nobody else will encourage you. There'll be times nobody else will give you a friendly word. There'll be times you'll be so discouraged. And the Bible said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Hallelujah. He's never let me down. He's never failed me. Let me tell you something now. When you get your eyes on other people, and you get your eyes on certain things, are you hearing me? I've heard preachers talking about. First preachers talk about, and Sunday school teachers talk about, I'm going to quit. I've even heard tell preachers coming in and taking their Bible and literally throwing it over on the table or a bed one and say, I'm not going back. I'm not going to preach anymore. And by the way, for you criticize that, you better read about Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I'm not going to make mention of him anymore. But I'll tell you about Tuesday afternoon, there's a fire begin to burn. Amen. And I'll tell you this tonight. I have never, in 50 years of preaching, I've never wanted to quit. That's the truth. Now I've wanted God to change my assignments. But I've never wanted to quit. I've wanted to give me another place to go. I'd say, Lord, I'm done here, and I don't think you're in there. But I've never wanted to quit. I've never doubted God calling me to preach. And it's always been there, thank God. But the Bible said here in this verse here, how when they spake of stoning him, the wives is taken captive, how the city is burnt down, how and they're getting ready to stone David. And the Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Come here, listen to me. There'll be a time, and I'll tell you what, I used to call the brethren to get encouragement. I'm not going down that road. When I get done, Brother Bob Ross, I made that to him a while ago. I called him one day and I said, this a long time ago. It's probably 40 years ago. I called him one day and I said, preacher, I really need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. He said, okay, I'll meet you at K&W in Winston Restaurant. And I got there when I was supposed to get there. He got there at his regular time. That's 45 minutes late. Always. Anyhow, he drove up. I was fighting the devil. I was going through a hard time at the church while I was pastoring up in the mountain. And I sat down with him and we began to talk. I said, hey, preacher, here's the deal. And I began to explain to him what was going on. And right in the middle of that conversation, he said, let me tell you something. And he began to tell me what all was going on at Gospel Life. And he began to tell me what all he's going through. And about 40 minutes later, I felt plumb good. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you this tonight. Sometimes you'll not get encouragement from the brethren. But thank God the Lord will encourage you if you'll let him tonight. I want to say it again tonight. He's never let me down. He's never failed me. I want to tell you, I've been through some dark times in my life. Hey, I've been through some valleys in my life. But thank God he's always been there. Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. God is our refuge and strength. And a very present help in the time of trouble. So don't you look at verse 6. Look at what it says. Latter part of the verse. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now for a year and 4 months, David's been away from the palace, away from the throne. For a year and 4 months, he's come down and dwell in the land of the Philistines. After a year and 4 months, David, as far as I'm concerned, has been slapped dead by the will of God. Let me tell you something. Your mind will tell you everything. David's perception was wrong. David said, I'm going to perish at the end of Saul. God wasn't going to let that happen. But he thought it was going to happen. Preachers, the boogerman ever talk to you? Does he ever tell you, you know, Sister Bertha, you got any Berthas in here? I hope ain't no Berthas in here. You know, Sister Bertha don't think a lot of you. And Brother so-and-so, you know, and what he'll do, in our minds, he'll play all that up and get it real big. He'll do the same thing to you tonight. And he'll tell you things that's not true. I want to say he's a liar tonight. I want to say it again. The devil is a liar tonight. He's a master of it tonight. He's a liar this season. Don't pay no attention to what he says. Are you listening? But notice the text. The Bible said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now I'll say it one more time. Sometimes you'll not have nobody else to encourage you. Down through the years in evangelism, I've had certain evangelists. Brother Buster Seaton is the best friend I've ever had in my life. Brother Buster Seaton, he and his wife, my wife, Miss Barbara, we went on vacation together. Brother Buster preached for me many, many times. There's not a greater camp meeting preacher in our generation than Brother Buster Seaton. And if you have anything bad to say about him, you better not say it to me. Are you there? And I know you don't. But Brother Buster, I just talked to him. And I talked to him about certain things. And I don't have Brother Buster no more. Other evangelists down through the years I've tried to hook up with and get encouragement from. Not too successful. But I'll tell you, God has never let me down, thank God. How the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now I want to show you real quick tonight how David found encouragement in the Lord. And keep in mind as I preach tonight, David hadn't even prayed. Are you listening to me? I'll show you that in just a minute. David hadn't done anything. He'd been running. Him and his 600 men, their families, getting away from Saul. And I want to say it one more time tonight. Saul wasn't going to kill David. God's going to take care of it. But when you get discouraged, your mind's not working right. Your thinking's not working right. Oh, hear me tonight. I'm telling you. You know the biggest toy the devil's got tonight? Your brain. I'm telling you, he'll get in the bed with you if you don't watch him. I'm not talking about your wife. I'm talking about the devil. Are you listening to me? He'll go to bed with you. And you know, when I pastored years ago, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I take that service home with me. And I would meditate on that service. I think about that service. During the night, I would reminisce that service. Boy, right in the middle of that, if you're not real careful, the devil will show you who wasn't there. He'll show you the negative side of it. He'll show you everything. And by the way, I still do that. I went down this afternoon, laid down for a little bit, and reminisced the service this morning. I'll go to a prophet's chamber tonight. I'll do the same thing. But in the middle of that, if you're not careful, hey, the devil will jump on your brain. You ever taught a Sunday school class and you felt like you laid an egg? You ever sang a song and you felt like, dear Lord, that's the worst? Are you listening? I'm so glad for my wife. I mean that. I'm glad God forgives people for lying. Because I'll get in the car sometime, and I'm trying to quit doing that. Been doing it to her a long time. And I said, that's the worst I've ever preached in my life. I don't know what happened. I know I had the message from wasn't that awful? That was terrible. She always says, I don't know that I've ever heard you preach any better. Bless her heart's right. Are you listening to me? But I'll tell you, the devil will exaggerate that in your brain. How did David find encouragement in the Lord? I want to give you three things, four things. Might give you seven, might give you three. Here we go. I'll say, first of all tonight, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Number one, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Simply by received encouragement. Simply because of the past. Did you get what I said? Because of the past. Not the present, but the past. Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now what's he doing? He's reminiscing. He's thinking about what God has done. He's thinking about how God has been with him. Now listen to me. He's got to get back past a year and 4 months. Because he's been there that long. And he's got to get back past that. And David said he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I believe David began to think about, you know what God has done. And may I say to you tonight, Every time I think about what God has done, it makes me want to run to Goobertown, Arkansas. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless His name. I say God been good to me. I say God has been good to me. Are you listening? The Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. I'm sure he began to think about. Now, I don't know he was thinking about this, but I kind of feel like he was. I think maybe David began to think about, you know, that morning that Jesse come to him, his daddy. David's the youngest of eight children. And the brothers are out fighting the Philistines with Saul. And Jesse comes to David one morning and says, David, won't you take these parched corn, few loaves, sandwiches, whatever. Your brothers are in battle with the Philistines with Saul. And take these down to the battle where they're at and feed those men. And somebody said David's 17 at this time. I'm not really sure about that, but anyhow, I do know he's a young man. And I see little David as he goes down to the battle. And as he gets down to the battle, on one side of the hill, you see the Philistines. On the other side of the hill, you see Saul and Israel. And down in the valley in between, you see a giant almost 10 foot tall, kicking up dust, cussing the God of Israel, cussing the army of Israel, and saying, send me a man. Send me somebody down here to fight with me. And, of course, the story was, if you they fought with the Philistines, and the Philistines won, you served their God. If Israel won, they served their God. And that Philistine giant would say, hey, send me a man. Send me somebody down here to fight with me. And I see little David. He tops the hill. He sees the dust coming up. He sees Israel on one side scared to death. And they see the Philistines on the other side. And I see little David doing this. Now you got to get in Hebrew to get all this. I can see David say, somebody needs to shut his mouth. Somebody needs to shut that guy up. And he goes on down into the camp. And now when he gets down, all they talking about, who's going to beat the Philistine? Who's going to whip the Philistine? And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Has a lot bigger cause than sandwiches. Has a lot bigger cause than the food that he brought. He said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And David said, I'll go fight with that Philistine. And he gets down there and boy, they laugh at him. His brothers, read it. I read it again today. His brothers make fun of him. They laugh at him. And they say, hey, David, who did you leave your few sheep with? Hit mocking him. That's what they're doing. Who did you leave your few sheep with? And they begin to laugh at him, mock him, make fun of him. And David said, raised his hand, said, would y'all mind if I give a testimony? They said, stay on. David said, you know, I was keeping my father's sheep, and there's a lion and a bear. Think about those two animals. A lion and a bear come out against us and come out against the sheep. And said, the Lord help me slew the lion and the bear. I took them by the beard and slew them in the name of the Lord. God took care of that. And then I can see little David. They continue to make fun of him. And David, they said to David, Saul says, hey, look, man, if you're going to go, let me put my armor on you. Saul was head and shoulders taller than everybody. That was not going to fit. And he said, let me put my armor on you. And Saul begins to try to arm up little David. And David gets to the point, throws them all off. He said, I can't go with these. I've not yet proved them. I can't go with that. I can't do that. I've not yet proved them. I could crank up right there about 30 minutes. There's a lot of stuff I ain't proved in this day, and it's not proved, and I'm having nothing to do with it. Stay with the right book. Stay with the right song book. Hey, stay with the right preaching, thank God. Hey, this has been proved. It's been tried. It works, thank God. You know what I noticed? When the trio was singing tonight, duet. What did I say? Duet. There wasn't a bit of steam coming out of that right there. Didn't turn the lights off. Thank God for being in a church that's got lights. And, of course, I don't preach in them dark churches. But I do preach in independent Baptist churches. Evidently, they're trying to save on their power bill. They're dark. And they don't think, or I've got used to it. And you can get used to the dark. That's another message. But anyhow, what I started to say was this. While they were singing tonight, you didn't say, listen, I'm not proved any of that. I'll tell you, them old songs you're singing tonight, thank God they still work. Hey, I'll tell you, if your Bible's right, if your songbook's right, if your pocketbook's right, hey, I'm telling you, God will bless you. Hear me tonight. I've not proved any of them. A lot of crazy stuff going on. There's a lot of crazy. I'm talking about independent Baptists falling hook, line, and sinker for it. Are you listening to me? I don't want them around me. I don't want that crowd around me. I don't preach with that. Are y'all here? I got to get off that. David said, you know, I can't go with these. I've not yet proved them. Let me tell you something before I move. I'd have no idea what's in this town. I have no idea. I know there's a place down there to eat. That's wonderful. I don't even know the name of it, but I know it's wonderful. And I know, number two, there's a Dollar General down the road. That's all I know about your town. You may not have none of them clubs here. You know, the Clyde, the Firehouse, the Rescue House. What in the world's wrong with putting church on them stuff? Why would you take church off? Christ died for the church, amen. Are you listening to me? Don't you leave this church and go off one of them off-brand deals down there somewhere. God's not in a thousand miles off. Say with the men of God that preaches the word of God. I don't know why I said all that. They don't know that line, but anyhow. David said, I'm not yet proved these. I can't go with them. And so David threw them off. And David goes out there. I'm telling you, David encouraged himself in the Lord. I wonder if David didn't get to thinking about what God had done. And David walks out there, and when he walks out in the middle of that valley, that Philistine giant, now you got to get in Hebrew to get this. I'm sure he laughed. I'm sure he made fun of, the Bible will tell you that. He made fun of David. I expect he said, hey, Saul, is that the best y'all got over there? Is that the best y'all bring down to fight against me? Laughed and made fun of him. And are you listening to me? That giant said, you come to me, I'll feed your flesh to the fowl of the air. David said, you come to me with a sword and a shield of spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Hear me tonight, thank God. Hey, David thought about what God had done. Are you listening? Oh, brother. I'm telling you that David began to reminisce what all God had done. Listen to me real quick. When you get discouraged, you don't think about that. All you think about is the present. And all you think about what's going on right now. Let me tell you something tonight. Churches go through seasons. Seasons. It's not always you're going to be reaping always. Before I left, when did I do it? Sometime between Wednesday and Friday, of course, I was at home Thursday and Friday. I was preaching, but I was at home. And you know what I done? I went down and sowed a lettuce bed. Also planted some onions. Also planted to sow two rows of beets. Now, when I get back home Friday night or Saturday morning, if I go down there and they're out of the ground, I'm going to say, bless the Lord, I'm no longer in Moab, I'm in Cana. They're not going to be up. And churches go through seasons. Listen to me, church. You're going to go through seasons from time to time. It always ain't going to be glory, hallelujah. It always ain't going to be somebody getting saved. But stay with it, thank God. And you sow, then you reap. Hear me tonight. Churches go through seasons. Many leave when they get discouraged. All right, listen to me. David, he began to think about what God had done. I'll give you something real quick. I probably ain't going to preach these other points, but listen to this. Job chapter 1. But in Job chapter 1, Job was a godly man. In chapter 1 and verse number 5, and it was so that when the days was fasting, going about, that Job sacrificed and offered burnt offerings for his children. Get that. He said, who knows? They may have sinned. They may have done wrong. And Job offered up burnt offerings, burnt sacrifices for his children. When you come over into chapter number 2, Job's lost it all. His family, he's lost his finances, he's lost the finest of health. I'm telling you, he's lost everything. He's got boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And the Bible said in Job chapter 2 and verse 7, so Satan went from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sores and boils from his foot to his crown. And he took a piece of parchment, broken pottery, and scraped, Job did, he scraped it with oil, and sat down, this is amazing, and sat down among the ashes. Why in the world did he sit down in ashes? I'm going to tell you why. Because it wasn't just a few days prior to that, Job was offering up him burnt sacrifices. And God come by and accepted the offering. And Job went back and sat down in them ashes. And here's what he said. It might be he'll come by again. I think I did. Hey, it might just be he'll come back by again. Don't you let the devil throw you a curve, friend. I'm telling you tonight, people leave and get discouraged many times. Hey, encourage yourself in the Lord. Think about what God has done. Are you listening? I got news for you. God's been real good to Grace Baptist Church. Are y'all hearing me? God has been super duper good. Boy, that's good English. That's mountain talk. God has been super good to this church. Man, you've got everything. Man, God's here. Good singing, good folk. You folk are even friendly. What a bonus. It's not that way everywhere. Listen to me now. You ought to be encouraging the Lord. Man, what God not only has done, what he is doing. I'm telling you, hear me tonight. David encouraged himself. And the Lord is God. I want to say number two. David didn't only encourage himself, found encouragement looking back at the past. But David found encouragement, get this, in prayer. I'm not going to take time to read it all, in prayer. If you go to chapter number 30 again, you'll find in verse 7 and 8, David requests the ephod. Do you know what the ephod is? That's that apron type thing that goes on over the priestly garment. Had two shoulder straps. And would tie it to his shoulders. And the ephod always in the Bible speaks of prayer. And this is what I'm getting ready to say to you tonight. David didn't only find encouragement in the past. David found encouragement in prayer. Think about what I'm saying tonight. He put that ephod on again, which simply speaks of prayer tonight. And by the way, it's this. When you get discouraged, you quit praying and start thinking. When you get discouraged, you quit praying and start thinking. Let me hit the rerun button. When you get discouraged, you quit praying and start thinking. Are you listening to me? And I'll say this about David tonight. Psalm 16 and many other, but David was a man after God's own heart. And David was a praying man. But I challenge you to do this. Don't do it now, but when you get home, do it. Chapter 27, chapter 28, chapter 29, chapter number 30, down to verse number 8. Down to verse number 8. Look at verse 8. And David inquired of the Lord. That's the first time David's prayed in a year and 4 months. Look at your Bible. That's the first time he's prayed. Nowhere in chapter 27, chapter 28, chapter 29 do you find David praying. It's down till you come to chapter 30 after the Amalekites had invaded them and burnt the cities, taken the children and wives captive. Then David inquired of the Lord what to do. A year and 4 months, to my knowledge, he had prayed one time. I said it a while ago, but I'll say it again. When you get discouraged, you quit praying and start thinking. You need to quit thinking, keep on praying. And I'll tell you this tonight. Hear me real good tonight. David found encouragement in prayer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, friend, there's times in my life I'm glad I can go to him. I was preaching a meeting in a certain place, in a certain time, in a certain city. And my little girlfriend went with me that night or that week. And I was staying in the prophet's chamber. My little girlfriend's 54 years right back there. She's 54 years old, sitting right there. But what she is. But anyhow, she lies too, so I'll lie too. But anyhow, 54 years. Been married 54 years. That particular week, she wasn't with me. And I was at this church, and I don't want to never go back. I don't know how many meetings I preached there, but I don't want to go back. You ever been anywhere preaching, and God just wasn't there? I was preaching in a church not long ago. This is the truth. In another state. It was awful. I'm not talking about this struggling preaching. I'm telling you it was terrible. I'm telling you it was awful. While I'm preaching, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. As sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit, here's what he said. I'm not in this place. Wow. That's the truth. And by the way, there's a lot of them like that. Ichabod's been wrote over the door. Y'all hear me preach tonight? And I did not book that meeting back, I'll promise you that. And they'll have no plans of going. If God's not there, I'm not going. But I was in this place preaching. And it was tough. I'm telling you, it was tough. One night, it was a special night. That night, they must have been. There's a pile of preachers there. I mean a pile of preachers there. And I'm not trying to impress nobody, but I do want to be used of God. And you don't understand that unless you're standing where I'm standing or standing where he's standing. And you want to be used of God. Anyway, I don't know how many was there that night. They want no liberty. They want nothing. I couldn't even read. I should have not even preached. When I started to read the text, I'd about choked death. I shouldn't even preached. But I struggled through it about 25, 30 minutes. When I got done, I got my top coat slipped out the side door and left. And I went to that cold, lonely prophet chamber. Boy, I never felt so low in my life. I never felt so discouraged in my life. I never felt like I made such a failure in all my life. And I began to pray and I began to talk to God. And the Lord, the Holy Ghost, spoke to my heart and said, "Did you do what I asked you to do?" I said, "I promise you, I tried my best. And you know my heart, I tried my best." He said, "That's all you're supposed to do." And I want to tell you, bless God, I pour my clothes off. I wiped the sweat off, jumped to bed and went to sleep. Are y'all hearing me? You want me to tell you where you can find encouragement? You can find it in prayer. You see, David hadn't prayed for a year and 4 months here in his life. Are you hearing me tonight? Hey, quit thinking and start praying. Don't stop praying and start thinking. Hey, the devil jumped right in the middle. Hey, David found encouragement in prayer. Number three, number four, and I'm done. Look at verse 8. David found encouragement in a promise. Look at verse 8. "And David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?' And he answered him," boy, how gracious the Lord is. After all the time David hadn't even spoke to him. How gracious. "And he answered him, 'Pursue, for thou shalt overtake them, and without fail recover all.'" Three times in this chapter, God promises David he's going to recover all. Can I give you this in closing? David found encouragement in a promise. In a promise. Are you listening to me? Listen to this. Don't doubt in the dark what God has done in the light. Don't do that. And in a promise. God said to David, "Y'all go on. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you." And it's amazing who he used to help David here in this chapter. That little Egyptian boy, you remember that? That's amazing. And if you want to see what the devil do to you, read about that little Egyptian boy in this chapter. Yeah, left him out there to die, starved to death. But anyhow, that's another message. But listen to this. If you want to find encouragement, you can find encouragement in the promises of God. God has never, listen to me, God promised us he would take care of us. God promised us he'd watch after you. I'll give you this little story and I'm done. In 1979, I'd started Grace Independent Baptist Church, Windy Gap, North Carolina. We should pray for that preacher. That preacher that's there now is in bad shape physically. Bad shape. Been in bad shape for a couple of years. We should pray for him. Matter of fact, my grandson preached there last week. But what I started to say to you, I remember the starting days of that church. In the beginning days of that, I worked a public job just a short time, just a very short time to supplement my income, to help me get that church off the ground. And I remember during them days, when I was starting that church, I was going down the road one day, left to work, going to the building loan, see about our loan on that building. This building reminds me so much of Grace, don't you, Mom? And everything just like it. But anyhow, started down the road to go to the bank to see about the loan on our new building we was building. And I was going down the road, and two guys was coming up the road on the other side. I was driving a 68 Chevrolet Nova. I just had looked at my speedometer. I was dead on 60 mile an hour. The other guys coming up the road was in a 70 Ford Ranger pickup. And they decided they wanted a Budweiser. It's a beer joint right here. They turned directly off in front of me. I hit them head on running 60 mile an hour. Man alive. I thought it was over, buddy. Busted my head up. My hands was all cut up. Busted five ribs down through there. Broke my leg right there under that knee. I didn't walk for a long time. Wound up in the hospital. And wasn't able to work, didn't have any money. I mean, my wife, now we didn't have enough money to pay attention. We didn't have no money. And when I did get able enough to go back to church, I preached on crutches or a wheelchair. Wore casts from here down for 3 months, right in the middle of the summer. It's tough. It was rough. And the Little Mountain Church that was started, here is their ideal. And I taught them better, and I hope they got a hold of it. But then, here's what they would do. Every 2 weeks, they would receive us an offering if they thought of it. If they thought of it. Is that the way it was, Mom? So I got where I could go back to church and preach a little bit. And our bills got behind. I didn't have a check. I wasn't working. Our bills got behind. Everything got behind. Not much, but it got behind. And I told her one day, I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to church Sunday. And I'm going to try my best to preach. I couldn't preach much, but I did. And I'm going to preach. And if they don't do something to financially to get us an offering and help us, I'll tell you what we're going to do, Mom. Monday morning, we're going to the bank. And I'm going to borrow the money. We are not going to have bad credit. Is that good preaching? I still believe that. I don't think y'all have bad credit. Amen. And I said, we're going to borrow money. We're going to catch our bills up. And we're not going to have bad credit. Amen. So I went to church that Sunday, had a good service. And guess what? They didn't think of it. They just, good people. They just didn't think of it. And it's hard to live on rabbit tracks and wind gravy. Are you listening? And so that Monday morning we got up and she helped me out of the house. We were going to the bank, borrowing money. She helped me out of the house, helped the door open, got me on the right side of the car. She drove, I couldn't. Got me in the car, and when she started to shut the door, the phone rang. She ran back in the house. I can see it right now. Gwynn Street, Rondo, North Carolina. She runs back in the house. I didn't know who it was. Our kids were small. I don't even know if Jonathan was alive. John was alive, wasn't he? And about 2 minutes, she come out the door crying. She actually was speaking in tongues. I mean, she went Pentecostal for a few minutes. She went crazy. She went wild. She was crying and praising God. She didn't speak in tongues. I'm on the radio. Radio listener, she didn't speak in tongues. But listen to this. She was praising God. She said, you ain't going to believe this. We're getting ready to go to the bank. She said, the secretary, the more you work, has called. And she said, Ms. Barker, there's a whole stack of disability checks up here. We just wonder when y'all's going to come by and get them. Oh, my. That's not a Benny Hinn lie. That's the truth. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I'll tell you something tonight. David found encouragement in a promise. And I'll tell you this tonight. Don't you doubt in the dark what he promised in the light. Just stay with God. Just stay with God. He's not going to forsake you. I heard Dr. Sattler say this. He said in my own pulpit, I've never seen a tithing Baptist, faith promise giving Baptist, a Baptist that loves God and faithful to church. I've never seen one on the bread line. And can I tell you this tonight? I believe that tonight. I'm living proof of that. Hey, David found encouragement. Amen. And a promise. I'll not finish this. David found encouragement in protection. Because in verse 16. And when he brought him down, the little Egyptian boy, when he brought him down, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of the great spoil they'd taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. Notice this next verse. And David smote them from the twilight of the evening even to the evening of the next day. 24 hours, if you will. And there escaped not any man, not any of them, save 400 rode on camels. Look at verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. Look at the latter part of verse 19. And David recovered all. I'll tell you this tonight. David found encouragement and protection. God will take care of you. Did y'all hear me tonight? I said God will take care of you. David didn't only find encouragement and protection. He found encouragement in prevailing. Because how in the world could David and 600 men whip the Amalekites? Study how many there were. You say how to do it. One word is called God. I said one word is called God. I'm done preaching. One of my favorite preachers is an old-time gravelly voice preacher by the name of Dr. Tom Malone. Brother Malone is in heaven. And I don't think I've told this story here. I couldn't find it if I did. I went back and looked today. Brother Malone's one of my favorite preachers. Dr. W. Jack Hudson was one of my favorite preachers. Dr. Harold B. Siler's one of my favorite preachers. Dr. Oliver Green's one of my favorite preachers. Are you listening to it? I have some good old men of God that I have, a man that changed, God used them to change my life. Dr. Darrell Wilkins, one of my favorite preachers. Help me now, come on. And I mean that with all my heart. I need somebody to pray. He's the first man I call. Him and Miss Donna, I'll guarantee you that's the truth. I'll promise you that. A few months ago, and I ain't got time to tell that story about cancer, but it's okay. Everything's all right. Dr. Tom Malone, one of my favorite preachers. Heard Dr. Malone tell this story, and I'm done. He said many, many years ago, he was preaching a revival meeting way over in the mountains, away from where he lived. Been gone all week, had a 35 Chevrolet. And said he'd been there all week, nothing happened. Nobody come to church. Absolutely a disaster. All week away from his wife, his church, away from everything. I think he said the offering was like 50 cents or something. It was just a terrible week, he said. He said he's driving that old 35 Chevrolet back home after being gone all week, crossing the mountain. And said, buddy, the devil got in there with him and sat right down beside him and said, you are a fool. You've wasted your week. You've given your time away. I could have tore your family up. I could have tore your... And just absolutely raking him over the coals. I know how that feels. Yes, sir. Brother Malone said he put up with that for about an hour. Said he pulled that old 35 Chevrolet over to the side. Reached down the floorboard and pulled up the emergency brake. Y'all don't have no idea what I'm talking about. Pulled up the emergency brake, put it in neutral. Got out of that old 35 Chevrolet. Walked around in front of them old dim generated headlights. And walked over to the right side of that car and opened the door and said, get out. Amen. Get out. I'm making payments on this car. This is my car. I say, who rides in my car? You get out. Shut the door. Walk back around. Got back in that old 35 Chevrolet. Let that hen break off. Put her up in gear and started on down the road. Singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. You know, I'll tell you this tonight. Has it been a year, 2 years since I preached this? 3 years, 4 years? I can't remember when I preached this. I had no idea. It's been years. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to grace. They don't need encouragement. Why? The devil don't bother them. I need to preach something else. I can't remember when I preached on this. Are you listening? I tell you what might needs to be done tonight. That's good English, isn't it? Tell you what might needs to be done. I tell you what needs to be done. Take the might off. Some of y'all need to get up out of your pew. Come up here and bow down this old-fashioned altar. And open the door and tell the devil get out. Are you listening to me? James said, did James say this? Draw nigh to God. I like you. You're a King James man. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Can I tell you what that means? That's right. I draw nigh to my wife. I sit down beside of her. She'd be over here. And I'd slip over about this much. And in 30 seconds, she'll be sitting in my lap. You draw nigh to God and see what He'll do to you. I'll guarantee you. And David encouraged himself and the Lord his God. We're going to revival stuff tomorrow night. Of course, this is revival stuff. Are you listening? Won't you tell the devil to get out of your house? Won't you tell the devil to get off your back? Won't you tell the devil to get out of your car? Let's stand together. Anybody need anything? Let's stand together. Anybody want to come to the altar? I'm waiting on you right now. I'm done, preacher.